he's building his church. And I know a lot of people might say, well, Pastor, we're in that window right now, that short window that families have where they're all in and out every weekend. I know that. Okay? Everybody relax. We haven't had a church split or anything. I know where everybody is. They're just not in town today. But you're here, and I hope, and I want to say to all of you, even those you're here today, when you're out on a particular weekend, please be diligent to hear what the Lord's saying, because there's stuff that gets sung, that gets prophesied, and gets taught, and you need to hear that if you're a part of a particular house. Would you agree? Amen? And I'm like you. I'm ready for everybody to get back. I mean, I'm longing to be with everybody. I miss everybody. But that will happen. But last Sunday, I shared with you about building God's house, where the Father's children dwell together as a spiritual family. We talked about that. And how that's imperative and that's foundational for us to be a spiritual family so that we can build and establish a house of prayer and worship, right? So we can build and establish a Jerusalem-like city set on a hill, amen? And so we can establish an Antioch-like apostolic and training and equipping and sending forth. Everybody agree for that? Now, and we're going to go into that more, and I want to kind of go into that more when we're all back from summer vacations and all in that time. But there was something about the Father's house today that was on my heart all week, and the Lord just kind of gave this to me while we were out on the Apache Res. Isaiah 54 says what? Shout for joy, O barren one. You who have borne no child, shout, break forth with joyful shouting, right? And then he goes on to say that our spiritual sons and daughters are going to outnumber natural childbirth. Isn't that amazing?
That's true.
We're going to see this coming in of our spiritual sons and daughters. But he also says this, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out your cords, right? And strengthen your pegs, your stakes. That's very important because we can be really big about stretching out, but we also have to understand something. You have to be grounded in something. Amen? We need to be. One thing I love about doing a lot of the camp meetings and stuff with the res churches that we work with is I know a lot of people that getting ministry, they're connected to the house. They're connected to a house or a church. And that's very, very important during this time. Here's what I want to share with you this morning for a few minutes. I want to talk to you about enlarging your heart, not only for your spiritual sons and daughters to come in, but for your house and for your family. Okay? For your house and your family. Because here's what the Lord spoke to me. The house of God is to include our family. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Your family. Your nuclear family. Your home. Your household. And the family of God is to include the families that make up the family of God. Does that make sense, everybody? And God wants to do that. That's His heart. Now, in Joshua 2, we won't turn to Joshua. I'll let you know when to turn. In Joshua 2, we see there's a harlot named Rahab. Interestingly, she's referred to as a harlot, which she was. Here's the thing. She was the one who opened her home to house and hide the spies, remember?
That's right.
And as they came into her home, she hid them, and they said she would have great favor for doing this, okay? So as she begins to do this, and here's the thing I want you to see, it's really powerful. Rahab's name means, get this, spaciously enlarged. Everybody say that.
Awesome.
Spaciously enlarged. So that's what her name meant, or means, not what it meant. And here's the thing. Why would she say? She asked not only for her own safety and protection, because she knew the children of Israel would invade and they were going to take Jericho. She knew that. So she asked for her own protection, but she also asked, you remember this? For the protection of her whole family. She wanted her whole family to come in. And she is honored. Now, a lot of people probably struggle with this. I say a lot of people, probably religious people. But Hebrews 11 lists Rahab with the matriarchs and patriarchs of our faith.
That's right.
As a woman of faith, because she believed God. Amen? So here's the thing that I hear God saying. We too must extend our faith for our families and our friends' salvation. Amen? I mean, sometimes from the frustration of people not coming to the Lord that you knew, they're a friend of yours or a family member, if anything, you maybe got persecuted for your faith with them. It's easy to kind of get to the place where you just kind of write them off. Hello, it's human nature. There's only so much rejection you want to go through, you know, and you start to feel that way. But I feel like God wants to stir us up because I feel as a part of the great end time harvest, we're going to see whole households getting saved. I believe that. I really do believe that. Now, I do want you to turn to John 4, if you would like. Let me set up. I want to read a verse with you, but before we do, I want to set it up for you. If you remember the story, a royal official asked Jesus to heal his son because he was at the point of death. And all Jesus simply said was, go, your son lives. And while the official was going back home, as he was going back home, his servants met him to say, your son is recovered. He's healed. And of course, he inquired of them, at what time did this happen? Yeah. Right? Because he made a journey to see Jesus. Jesus said, go. Yeah. And then his servants meet him. Yeah. I would want to know, when did this happen? Right. And he comes to the conclusion, it was exactly when Jesus spoke the word. And let's look at that verse 53 of John 4. Look what it says. So the father knew that it was at the hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. But now, how many of you love that part? That's good. But I love the last part of the verse. And he himself believed and his whole household. Everybody say whole household.
Whole household.
Come on now. Jesus impacted whole families in his earthly ministry. And can I tell you, he still impacts whole families today through his church, through his body in the earth. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? The early church actually began to grow because families were coming into the family of God. So the early church began to grow because of that, because of families coming in. Now, in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius is a centurion that we brought attention to. He was described as a devout man, get this, who worshiped God and who prayed continually and who gave alms to the Jewish people. He was a giver, okay? The angel of the Lord visits him. And here's what the angel said to him. Get this. Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Is that not cool? A lot of times we wonder if our prayers are doing anything, right? Sometimes we wonder if our giving is going for any kingdom purposes or whatever. And God says it ascends to him as an incense. He remembers. Amen? Somebody need to hear that today to encourage you in your giving and in your prayers. Now the angel instructs Cornelius, get this, I want you to send some of your men to Joppa and bring back Simon Peter, a Jew. Okay? Meanwhile, at the same time, I say meanwhile, at the same time, Peter's on the rooftop praying, waiting for dinner. He could probably smell his dinner coming up from the roof. And he's praying and he has a vision. Y'all remember?
Yeah.
And a sheet drops down in front of him several times. And the sheet comes down, and he sees on this sheet all these creatures that Jews can't eat or not allowed to eat under the law. And so the sheet drops down, and Peter sees it, and then all God says to him is, rise, kill, and eat. It's kind of like, hey, our diet just got broad. You know, whatever, I don't know, he just got really excited. But here's the point. God said, for what God has cleansed, everybody say, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Now, but this is a setup. It's a setup. We all know the story. The men come to Peter. Peter says, well, I had a vision. They told me to follow you, so here I am. So he shows up. Now get this. Cornelius had gathered all of his relatives and his close friends. How many of you know, if we have a spacious heart like Rahab, we're going to want to gather everybody.
That's right.
Right? We're going to see everybody in our family and in our sphere of influence. We're wanting to see them saved. And so he brings them in, and we know the story. Peter begins to preach the gospel to them. And let's look at it in Acts 10:44. Let's go to the end of the... Peter, it says... verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Here's what the Lord spoke to me. Whoever we enlarge our heart toward, whoever we believe for, okay? Make sense? Like Cornelius did, I believe we can see them come to faith and be saved. But we have to enlarge our heart for them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Cornelius believed for his household. He believed for his friends. And guess what? He got what he's believing for. What an amazing thing. Amen? His heart was spaciously enlarged for others. We have a powerful example of another whole family coming to the Lord. Now, and I love it because these are Gentile families coming in. to the Jewish family. Y'all getting this? Yeah. And of course, that's why there was the controversy, right? We have another example in Acts 16, if you want to turn there. Let me set it up for you. Paul and Silas had been persecuted heavily, and the authorities had arrested them, and they beat them with rods, bloodied their backs, and then they chained them up in the deepest, darkest place in the prison. Okay? So Paul and Silas are laying there, or I don't know if they're laying or sitting, but they're chained up like all the prisoners. These were not, you know, nice prisons. Are y'all with me? They're chained up in stocks and chains, and they're sitting there. And you know what? Do y'all know what Paul and Silas are doing? They're singing hymns of praise to God and praying. Amen? And they were praying and singing hymns of praise to God with such a volume that everybody else in the prison was listening. Hallelujah. Now look at this with me. At Acts 16, 25. Look there. But about midnight. Everybody say midnight. You don't get any darker than midnight. Do we agree?
Yeah.
At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly, there came an earthquake, and so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately. How many like those words? Suddenly and immediately. I like that stuff. Amen?
Yeah.
But guess what? They were in a position for it. In worship and in prayer and in praise unto God. You got to get in position for it. Amen? And all the doors were open and everyone's chains. Not just Paul and Silas. All the prisoners. What if you'd been a prisoner? Be like, woohoo, I love that Jesus. Yeah. You're right? Don't know who you're singing about, but man, I'll take some of that, right? And now get this. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, by the way, that part that they're all here, how many know that was a miracle? The chains had just fallen off. The prisoners stayed. Come on. When the glory of God is so powerful, nobody wants to leave.
Come on, bro.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
They were all here, Paul said. And he brought them out. And I love this. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be..." How many are ready to hear that?
I want to hear that
from people.
Everywhere.
Man, brother, I want what you got. Amen? Anybody want to hear that from Uncle Bob and Aunt so-and-so and your mom and your dad and your... Anybody
want to
hear that? Hallelujah. "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus." Come on, here's the promise. Get this. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be what? Saved, and you and your household." Hallelujah. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night, washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and
his household.
Come on. And all his household. What a promise. What a promise, amen?
Awesome, man.
Think about it. Even outside of our household, what does the Bible say? That God wishes what? That none should perish. But He wishes that what? All men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Would you all agree with me? That's the will of God. If it's a promise of God, it's the will of God. Say that with me. If it's the promise of God, it's the will of God. Hallelujah. And you, that's what He wants. So you and I as believers, get this now. Really important. As members of God's house, of God's family, here's what the Holy Spirit, another thing, the Holy Spirit spoke to me a lot. He said, you have a special, hear me now, you do, not your pastor, you do. I do too, because I'm a believer. But you have a special authority and influence. Because, get this, because you're the saved member of your family.
Come on.
And because of this, you're a friend, you're the safe friend among your friends. And you're the safe student at the school you go to. And you're the safe guy that works in the warehouse among the other guys that are lost. Are y'all with me?
Yep.
You have authority and you do have influence. Hallelujah. Now, knowing the promises of God, which state God's will, what are we to do with that authority and influence as a believer? And I want to ask you to take what I share in these next few minutes very seriously and very soberly. There were three things that really dropped into my heart about this authority and influence that we need to activate. Are you ready? Number one, we must believe.
Amen.
Out of a respect for the promises of God, we must believe that it's God's will to see all of our family and all of our friends be saved.
Yeah.
Amen? Because if you don't believe it, then you're not expecting for it. You're not praying for it. You're not doing anything to activate it. Amen? When we don't see someone, let's be honest. Let's just have a little talk. When we don't see someone easily accept the gospel after we got saved, how many of you know the enemy whispers in your ear, well, it must not be God's will for them? How many of you ever heard that whisper?
Come on.
Come on. Especially if somebody rejects you, outright rejects you, don't want to have anything to do with you, it's easy to think, well, it must not be God's will for them to be saved. But can I tell you today, everybody listen to me, it's a lie. Yeah. Because if that would be true, then those other verses I quoted to you about God's will would be a lie. Truth can't be double-sided.
Right.
The truth is Jesus died for everybody. Amen?
Right. Yeah.
And the lie is, well, it must not be God's will. Where do you think that comes from? Do you really think that comes from the Holy Spirit?
No
way that would. And here's the thing, guys. The Lord wants us to extend our faith and believe for people to be saved. When Peter reports back to Jerusalem about Cornelius' household and how his friends were saved, he actually repeats back something that isn't in chapter 10, in chapter 11. And he talks about what the angel said to Cornelius. Let's look at it together. Acts 11, 13. He reported to us, this is Peter talking. Cornelius reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, now look at this, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he will what? Say this with me. Speak words to you. Everybody say that. Speak words to you. By which you will be saved. And here it is again. You. Are y'all alive?
And your household. And
all your household. Amen? And as I begun to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon him just as he did on us at the beginning. Let me say this to you. In your believing, don't be shy about sharing the testimony of Jesus. Amen? Now you can share the testimony of Jesus around family members and friends in a way you can just bring it into the conversation. Talk about your Lord. Amen? Talk about His goodness. Talk about what He did in your life today or whatever. And I'm telling you, it's very prophetic because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I'll tell you, from what we gather from this story, if we were sharing the testimony of Jesus in those situations, it gives an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to fall on them. Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't fall on them, it won't matter. If I talk them into believing Jesus like I got them in a headlock, then I got news for you. It won't last. But when the Holy Spirit falls on them, it's a lasting salvation. So again, if we buy the lie that it must not be God's will, how many know the problem with that is we'll lose heart. We'll lose heart. We'll stop interceding for them. We'll stop believing for them. We'll stop witnessing to them. Come on, let's be honest. So again, let's take a stand and believe. Second thing, there's only three. Second thing is this. We must fight for our family. Amen?
Amen.
Guys, this is life and death.
War.
Amen? This is eternity with Jesus or not.
Right.
I mean, it's serious. And we must fight for them. When Nehemiah gathered the people to him through the prophetic word to build the wall, to rebuild the wall. If you remember, the enemy had come along and the enemy had planned to sneak into their camp and attack them and attempt to stop the work. Now Nehemiah knew that the people hearing about the enemy's plan to come against them would bring fear to the people. Okay? Common sense, right? But look with me at these verses in Nehemiah 14. Just look on the screen. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Look what he says. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight. Here it is. Fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses.
Woo!
Amen? Everybody say fight.
Fight.
Verse 15. This is cool. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plans, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work.
Dude.
See, we think if the enemy has a grand scheme against us, we're overwhelmed. Like, oh, right? What are we going to do? This is hard. This is warfare. I'm oppressed. Oh, what are we going to do? You know? Here's the thing. When we rise up and fight, the enemy is bewildered.
Come on.
The minute we stand, the minute we take a stand, the enemy is bewildered and frustrated, like it says here. When we rise up and fight, the enemy's plans are frustrated. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Now, we've already testified on this latest missions outing. The enemy had plans to come against us.
Right.
No doubt about that. Now, I'm not trying to act like we were all, none of us were beaten and jailed. Okay, everybody relax. It was just obviously resistance that was there. But you know what? We kept praying. We kept worshiping. We kept pressing through. And that's what you do, amen? The kingdom of heaven suffers violent, but the violent take it by force, not by passivity. Amen? Not by passivity. And when you sense fear, that's why he says, do not fear. Fear not. Be bold. Be strong. Just like, hey, I like that word, new open doors, right? But you also have to understand, you've got to know how to not to fear and how to take courage and go through that open door. Amen? Amen. Everybody still there? When we fight in the Spirit, let me say, when. We fight in the Spirit. Do we all agree?
Yes.
How many know that's the temptation? It's to take it to flesh and blood level, right? Because a lot of times your resistance is manifesting through people, flesh and blood. But that's not our battle. Our battle is in the Spirit. Amen? Amen? That's our battle. And so we understand that. And so we got to be really, really careful about that, because some of the very people that we're wanting to see saved in our families and our friends and in our sphere of influence, those very people sometimes could be the ones that God's using to resist us, and yet God wants to save them.
Come on.
Amen? So fight the good fight. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Do we all agree?
Yep.
But we use our spiritual forcefulness in the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's very, very important. So we must do what? Continually pray. We must intercede. We must take authority over the enemy in the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm gonna. Are y'all ready to blow away a sacred cow? Are you ready? We're gonna take one out this morning. We'll have a barbecue later. All right. Celebrating Virgil's birthday. Happy birthday, Virg. Many say, "Well, everyone has a free will, Pastor." Everybody has a free will, right, to decide or to reject Christ. That's true. But can I tell you something? Are you ready to be provoked? People don't always have a free will. Can I explain to you why? Look at this passage with me. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what?
Perishing.
In whose case what? The God, little g, Satan, the devil, the God of this world has what?
Blinded
the minds of the unbelieving. Why? Read it, the rest of it. So that they might not see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So if Satan has blinded them where they can't see the goodness and glory of Jesus, do they have a free will?
No, they don't have.
Because you don't even know you have a choice.
No,
if you don't see, do y'all see what I'm saying with this? Yes, their will is important, and they can still reject Him. But they're not near as likely to if their eyes are open.
Come on.
I mean, when my eyes open, man, you couldn't drag me away from Jesus.
Come on, man.
Because I saw His goodness. I saw His glory. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
So that's why the enemy does that. And we think, well, everybody's got a free will, brother. Just let him go. Well, no, we need to get into warfare and tear some blinders off.
Come on, bro.
Can I ask you this? If Satan has blinded them, can they really have the free will to choose this day who they will serve? No. They're just going to keep going the way they've always gone, the broad way, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question, though. Do we not, in Jesus' name, have authority and power over Satan's ability to blind someone?
Yes, we do.
We tend to act like because he's blinded them, oh, man, that's terrible. Oh, wow. He's blinded. And I'll be honest with you, I've fallen into that. That guy's so blind, he can't see the forest for the trees, right? And the thing is, who's got the authority to do something about that?
Jesus.
If the blinders are on, who's got the authority? Amen? We've been given that authority in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all agree with that?
Yes.
Jesus said this. He said the strong man controls his house until someone stronger comes. I'm not saying the blindness is not strong on people. Some of you have got friends and family. They're deep in darkness, right?
Yeah.
That's what blindness means. It's darkness. You don't know your way. And can I tell you, but the power that does that, as strong as it may be, the power of Jesus is greater. Amen?
That's right.
Hallelujah. Y'all believe that?
Yes.
Say this with me. Greater is He
who is in
me than He who is in this world. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. That's what we have to believe. Because it's the God of this world, the spirit of the world, that tries to tell us, oh, you can't mess with us.
Come on.
Well, I got news for you. The greater one is in me and you. Hallelujah. Here's a reality for all of us. There are evil spirits assigned to keep the lost lost.
Come on.
To keep the bound bound.
That's right.
There are evil spirits assigned to that. That's what they do, to keep you in the darkness. But Jesus has given us authority over them all. Say amen. Now, let me say this. We know that there are sins and iniquities of the father that are visited upon the children to the third and fourth generation. But please hear this. Sin is not a biological problem. It's a spiritual one. Hello. Everybody's born in sin. That's why we all must be born again. Amen. We have to come out of that darkness into light through Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. We were all born in the sinful seed line of the first Adam. Were we not?
Yep.
We're all a part of that seed line. You couldn't help it unless you were hatched. We're all, interestingly, we're all different shades and colors, and it doesn't matter. We all come from the original creation of man, and that sin iniquity has gone down, and it'll keep going down generation to generation, right?
Right.
It can only be broken in Jesus. And when you were born again, you came out of Adam's seed line and came into Jesus' seed line, the last Adam. Hallelujah!
Jesus.
You're now in a whole different family spiritually.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory be to God. You know, many, many Christians who prayed to receive Christ have no clue what I just said. And it's really a shame because they think I'm just still an old sinner. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I was an old sinner, but I ain't even in that seed line anymore. Hallelujah! Y'all receive that? Come on now. Hallelujah. Many times, I'm going to go on and let's take another one out. Many times we see family spirits. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You see certain sins, bondages, iniquities, violence and abuse, sicknesses and diseases. It seems like you could trace it through the family line. Anybody with me? For example, not picking on anybody. It's most common. Alcoholism, right? Or have you ever noticed where, you know, since our counseling, some woman who's been abused physically, and you find out daddy did it too, and his daddy did it to him. You see what I'm saying? And I, for lack of a better word, it's not a biblical word, but I just say there are family spirits. It's like an evil family inheritance. And you're kind of like, no thanks. I really don't want that part of my inheritance, right? But again, that's in the old man. That's in the old man that has passed away. And the new man has come. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Very important. It can only be broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let's fight for our families. Anybody
want
to fight?
I want to.
First thing I want you to do, and this, I'm just encouraging you, is start praising God for saving them.
Come on now.
It's called the sacrifice of praise. Y'all get that? Very simple. Start praising God for saving family members and friends that you know need Jesus, right? Just start praising Him. Because if they're already saved, that's not really a sacrifice. You're just praising God that got saved. But you're praising God for somebody who's still in bondage. You're saying, Lord, I thank You. Jesus, You died for him just like You died for me. And I just thank You right now that he's going to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Also, just simply command the blinders to come off.
Come on.
Just speak to them. Say, come off in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Come off.
Just say, be removed off their heart, be removed off of their mind so they can see Jesus.
Amen.
You may think I'm crazy yet. Because the other way, just accepting that they must not going to get saved, that ain't getting anything done. Also, plead the power of the blood of Jesus over them. I like to do this. I like to call them out by name and claim them. And I say, how can we claim? Well, I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm a joint heir with Jesus. And Jesus paid for them.
Yeah.
He paid for them. Amen?
Pain.
And so I like to claim them. Say, Lord, I thank You. Let's just pick a name. I thank You, Lord, for John. I thank You, Father, that Jesus, You redeemed John for Your glory. And I claim by the power of Your blood his redemption and salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all getting this? Here's another one I like to pray. I'm just talking about how do we fight for people that we love? How about this? Ask, please hear me, for the convicting presence, not condemning.
That's good, bro.
The convicting presence of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Jesus said when He comes, the Spirit, He will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. If we try to do it, what do they walk away? Mad and usually condemned. Because we're trying to convince them of something. Let the Holy Spirit. So how do we do it? We ask for the Holy Spirit to come.
Amen.
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 What if we prayed these things every day? I'm serious. Every day we went to battle and determined this day, because it could be the very day they're going to call you and say, I just wanted you to be the first one to know I gave my heart to your Jesus this afternoon. Amen?
Do it,
God. Hallelujah. Ask for that. Because I tell you, the Holy Spirit can bring that love and draw their heart. Amen?
Yes.
It's loving kindness.
Yes.
Anybody ready to fight that way?
I'm ready.
Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that.
Thank you, Jesus.
And just be diligent. Because, and I've shared this with you 100 times, but the Lord showed me a picture. I was staying in a condo in Mesa before I lived here. Good friend of mine, Tom Gossett, bless the Lord. I'll see him again in eternity soon. Not real soon, but soon. Hold on a minute. But I would go to this condo, and there was this family that had this little chihuahua. And he thought he was a Doberman. And he would come after me. I'd be coming in late at night after a meeting, you know, with my guitar and everything. And I guess, you know, maybe he was a racist dog. I don't know. But he would come after me and start nipping at my... I'd just ignore him. You know, he'd try to nip at my heels, and I would just suddenly have a flinch, like, you know. And I'd finally turn around and say, get out of here. And he'd scamper back, and then he'd come back after me again. And the Lord talked. I got back in the condo one night, and I lay down. And the Lord said, you know, that's how the devil is. The minute you turn around and say no, he's got to go. Right? He's got to go! But yet, don't think he's not tenacious. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I wish you were as tenacious as that dog.
Ooh.
That's what the Lord said to me. He said, I wish you were as tenacious as that little chihuahua. And I'm thinking, now I'm offended at God. Isn't that a good challenge, though? Let's be tenacious and fight for our families. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. So what? Let's believe it's God's will for them. Amen? Open our hearts. Let's believe it's God's will for my friends and family to be saved.
That is His
will. Amen? And then... remember how great and awesome your God is and fight. Fight for your families. Amen?
Fight.
The third one is this. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlarge your heart.
Amen?
Amen? You might find out the family you're believing for is a lot bigger than you ever thought. Right? Friends or people, it could just be expanded. And I believe as we begin to claim family, friends, and loved ones, let's be honest. If all of us, our family, friends, and loved ones were suddenly starting to get saved, guess what? Their sphere of influence would also.
Yes. Amen.
Come on.
And then people start. It's the way it works.
Come on, multiply.
It's an exponential. Yeah, it's multiplication. And the growth, it just takes off. That's what happened in the early church. At one time, all the known world had heard the gospel.
Cool.
And boy, have we sadly fallen away from that pattern, right?
Yeah.
And so God's wanting to do something really powerful with that. And I think sometimes we think it's through programs and a lot of things, but it really is through doing the simple things we know to do. So just allow the Holy Spirit to enlarge your heart. I encourage each one of you with that. To not only begin to claim our family and friends and loved ones, but how many want your heart enlarged in this way? That you have a true, sincere, deep love and compassion for them. That you care.
Yes.
That you care. You know, God enlarged Rahab's heart. She had to have. Because she wasn't just looking out for herself. She actually asked them. And then they gave her some instructions on what to do. Let's look at that real quick. Can you give me a couple more hours?
No.
A couple more minutes? Just kidding. Joshua 2:15. See, if I say that and I go a few more minutes, then it seems like nothing. Virgil's thinking, I'm thinking birthday dinner. No. Joshua 2:15. Then she let them, those spies, down a rope. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
She let them down a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. So that she was living on the wall. And she said to them, now get this, go to the hill country so that the pursuers will not happen upon you and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way. And the men said to her, because they'd already sworn an oath they would protect her, remember?
Yes.
They said, we shall be free from this oath to you which you've made us swear unless we come into the land, get this, when we come into the land, that you tie this cord of scarlet thread, everybody say the blood. In the window, through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father, here it is, and your mother, and your brothers, and all your father's household.
Wow.
And it shall come about, now here's important, now you want to talk about free will, here it is. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house, back into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. If a hand is laid on him.
Wow.
Now, is that not a powerful prophetic picture of the blood?
Come on.
That's where free will comes in.
Yes.
Amen? Whether or not you stay and keep your life under the blood. Amen? Everybody could choose. what house they want to live in. Amen? And I tell you, God wants us to build and stay in the house. Not meaning we don't go out. Meaning we stay under the Father's covering. Amen? From a heart of love and compassion, let's make the scarlet thread of redemption known. The blood. Let's make it known to them. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's enlarge our hearts and look to gather them in. She gathered in her family into her Father's house. And it's such a power. Isn't that a powerful picture? Isn't that a powerful picture? The scarlet blood. And let's open our hearts. I encourage you in this. I think sometimes you may have some family members that you've not. Now, some of us don't even live in the same town with certain family members. I understand that. But when we have a place for people, I think we should first, even in our own home and house, start to gather people. And start to fellowship with them and bring forth those opportunities. But then ultimately, we want to get them in Daddy's house. Yes. Amen? We want to get them comfortable in the family of God, in the church. Amen? Ultimately, that's the goal. And I love what Philip said. Philip was a great recruiter for Jesus. He was going out telling people, we found the Messiah, right? And then when any of them would question who you're talking about from Nazareth or whatever, he would just say simply this, come and see. Why don't you come and see, right? If we want to be a part of what God's doing, we need to be able to, and we want others to do it, we just need to simply say, why don't you come and see? Don't argue with them about it. Just ask them to come and see. The reason I ask you for a little bit more time, for just a moment, I feel like I need to bring this home, and then we'll talk about it some more in the weeks to come. Jesus breathed on his disciples in John 20, and he said this, receive the Holy Spirit. And he said, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they've been retained. How many of you have heard that verse before? Okay. Now, number one, none of us can do that if we don't receive the Holy Spirit. Because that's a spiritual thing from God, right? I mean, it's not easy. Let me just encourage you in this, especially with family and even friends. You need to resolve any unresolved forgiveness issues. Hello? We need to resolve those things with family members, friends, co-workers, fellow students, whatever. We can't hold grudges or offenses toward them and then expect to be a witness to them. Come on, man. Yikes, right? Pull your toes back. But we can't. We can't expect to be a witness to somebody that we're holding an unforgiveness or we were offended to them or they hurt us. We've got to forgive, and we can do that by the Holy Spirit who has breathed upon us. Would you agree? So what I like to do is to say, Lord, I forgive. We're picking on John. We'll keep picking on John, whoever that is. There's no Johns here today. Lord, I forgive John. Lord, I don't hold it against him. Because doesn't that sound like somebody you know? Doesn't that sound like somebody you know? Father, don't hold this against him, right? And that's the way we have to be. And you might say, well, what is me doing that? What effect of that? I'm telling you, it's spiritual. Because if you don't, Jesus said, their sins are retained. And the whole reality of the fact that they can be free from their sins is maybe based upon another of the authority and influence of a believer that'll forgive them. Come on. I'm telling you guys, I think there's more to this than we've ever delved into. I really do. Yeah. I think it's something very, very deep. Forgive them in prayer. And if it's something you need to go talk to them about, then go do that and forgive them in person. But a lot of people, I've prayed for them long before I ever talked to them about it in person. But see, God began to do something really, really powerful. Intercession in the Old Testament especially, they would cry out on behalf of the people. The man of God would stand and he would cry out and intercede and ask for forgiveness just like he was doing the same sins. Right. Oh, Lord, forgive the sins of your people. You know, Daniel did this. Lord, forgive the sins of your people. You see what I'm saying? It releases something. I don't know what it is. But don't give up on them. Don't write them off. Forgive them. And then when an opportunity may open, or maybe you're having lunch with them or a coffee or something, and it just comes up, I'm just struggling with all the things that I've done, and you now you're at a place where you look across the table and say, the Lord forgives you, and I forgive you. You're free, man. Don't live under this any longer. I've done this with people and seen them completely break under the power of God. Wow. I'm telling you guys, it's real. And in this area of fighting for our families and opening our hearts to them, forgiveness has to undermine that. Amen? Not undermine it, but undergird it. That's a good word. When we forgive people, think about this. When you've forgiven someone, even if you have to do it every day, because sometimes people are going to keep sinning against you. But as you forgive them, there's no way you could curse them.
Come on.
If you've really forgiven them, right? You can't turn around and go, well, he's a no count, blah, 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 blah. Right?
Cleaned out.
Fill in the blank. Right? You can't do that. If you're constantly saying, Lord, I just forgive them. You know, they may hurt me again today, but I'm going to forgive them. I love them, God, because I've been claiming them. You redeemed them, and I'm still holding on to that. Amen. Y'all receive that?
Yes, I do.
Jesus hung on a cross. Everybody that put him there.
Come on.
He's just hanging there on the cross, full of shame, the shame of that crucifixion and all of our sin and iniquity being cast upon him. And as he's hanging there, right before he gave his spirit to the Father, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Come on.
That's our example.
That's it.
Amen. That's our example. That's why Paul and Silas could lay there in that prison and sing praises. And it got every prisoner listening. These dudes are weird. This is not your average prisoner, right? This is not your average criminal, right? It was powerful. Y'all receive that?
I do.
They know not what they do. I shared this at the camp meeting the other night. I heard one guy say this, that said in the Greek, it actually implies this. They can't help themselves. Right? They're in the wrong seed line. How many of you know, when you're a sinner, it just comes natural. Right? When you're a believer, you can still sin. I like what Bill Johnson says. You're just not a professional anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all receive that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh. Wow, okay, I got to find a way to come in for a landing here. Let's believe, let's fight, amen? Let's open our hearts.
Open our hearts.
Let's believe, let's fight, and let's open our hearts to be spaciously enlarged. Because your family members, your friends, your circle of influence is at a very great strategic advantage because you are saved and you are in their life.
Amen?
Amen? And a lot of things are going to fall off and they're going to start to see and understand. And they don't even know why. But it's the blessing of the Lord. So let's believe for harvest. I know we've been talking a lot about harvest, but let's believe for a harvest of our families. A harvest of those in whom, and don't write anybody off, okay?
Yes, sir.
I don't care what they've done. Don't write him off, amen? You know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm talking to you.
Well, it could go right down that line. Bang, 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 just like ping pong here. Don't write anybody off. Amen, ladies?
Amen.
Don't write them off. Keep praying. Protect yourself, okay? But pray. But pray for that. Don't pray for yourself. For your life to be better. Amen. I'm not rebuking you.
Amen.
Amen. We do that sometimes. We want people to get saved so they'll quit agitating us. No, I want them to get saved because I don't want them to go to hell.
Right.
I don't want them to live eternity away from God. I don't want that. Do you?
No,
none of us should ever want that. Amen. So let's be faithful. Hallelujah. Okay. I've got to share this scripture with you. Joshua 24. Look at it. You know it. Joshua has led the people into the promised land. They've conquered cities and regions and territories of the promised land. And he gives this statement to the people all the way up to chapter 24. Look what it says in verse 15. Look what he says to the people. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose, everybody say choose, for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you were living. Everybody say boo, boo. Okay. But as for me and my house, come on, say it. We will serve the Lord. Say it with me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'll lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands to heaven and pray this with me right now. Father, come on, pray with me. We believe this day that it is in your heart for our family and friends to be saved. Make my heart spaciously enlarged. I choose this day to extend my faith according to your will, your word. I remember you are great and awesome. And you are good.
And you are good.
Grant us the grace,
to believe,
to pray for all of our family,
our
relatives and friends,
in every area of life.
I believe
that as a redeemed child of God,
you have given me
authority
and influence
to see salvation come
to my household.
My family,
my friends,
and my loved ones.
And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now let me bless you right now. Just receive it. I bless you to believe again. I bless you to believe again for salvation. For all of your family and friends and loved ones. You receive that?
Yes.
Receive it. I bless you to share with confidence the testimony of Jesus as a faithful witness. I bless you to fight the good fight. I bless you that God's putting a fight in you. To pray, to take authority over the enemy, to pull off the blinders, to rebuke those family spirits that are holding them in bondage. I bless you to with confidence plead the blood over them and begin to claim them as God's redeemed. I bless you with persistence. Somebody need that right now. Come on. And endurance. And to believe for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to be upon them. I bless you with grace. Some of you need this. Receive it. The grace to forgive and release them. If you need that, to say, Lord, I receive that right now. I bless you with a spacious heart to look for ways to gather them in. Amen? To include them in your home, your life, and ultimately in your church family too. Would you just place your hands over your belly, over your heart? Place your hand there right now. And I say again, I bless you with a spacious heart. Say this with me, enlarge my heart, Lord.
Enlarge my heart.
For your harvest. And I also bless you with this, that you will always offer the sacrifice of praise on their behalf by thanking God for saving them before you see anybody repent. That you will do it. So let's break forth out of barrenness right now with a shout of praise. Everybody, 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Come on, lift it up! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord! Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
Decree this with me. I choose this day.
I choose this day.
Who I will serve.
Me and my house.
Will serve the Lord. All the days of our life. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Give the God glory.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.